WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, good people? It is Friday. Happy Friday, ladies and gents. The week has flown by, and we have a great show in store for you all. So on today's show, I'll be chatting with the head coach of the DeWitt football team. Yes, DeWitt getting all the way to the state championship game last year, coming just short. Oh, boy. So we'll kind of go back in time and talk about that moment with head coach Rob Zimmerman, and also he'll give us a preview of this upcoming year for him. I can't believe high school football is right around the corner. Looking forward to that chat with Rob. Also, we'll talk about the MSU football team naming new captains, Le'Veon Bell in this whole DUI case with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and an ex-EMU football player arrested on some pretty heinous charges. All of that as well as Reflection Friday on this fantastic Friday. You don't want to miss all of that and more, but hey, as custom here on the show, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this August 22nd. Trevor Manuel's decision was delayed when Carlton Valentine decided to return to coach boys basketball at Sexton on July 31st, but the senior-to-be wound up sticking with the decision that he had already finalized by then to play alongside his cousins and attend Everett High School. Now, the 6'9", 200-pound center has scholarship offers from Michigan State, Michigan, Florida State, Oregon, Providence, Wake Forest, Xavier, and EMU. Wow, quite a list. Based on where he lives, Manuel says he could have chosen to attend Lansing Eastern, Sexton, or Everett. Manuel's father also played at Everett with the 1983 McDonald's All-American Kevin Smith. All right, the Michigan State football team has named its captains for the 2014 football season. Senior offensive guard Travis Jackson, junior defensive end Shalik Calhoun, and senior safety Curtis Drummond were named as captains. Now, D'Antonio made public two starting decisions as well that come as no surprise, with senior Tywan Jones getting the nod at middle linebacker and sophomore Darian Hicks at cornerback. Decisions at receiver, backup running back, defensive tackle, and other linebacker spots are yet to be made, or at least revealed. Now, the Spartans finished things up with a rehearsal scrimmage on Thursday, and then he announced to the team their choices for captains. Players voted in the morning for three choices among the 12 players who make up the team's leadership council. A fourth player will rotate as a game captain each and every week. All right, how about this? Schedules have been revealed for the MSU men's and women's basketball team. Now, the Michigan State men's basketball team opened with 6 of 8 games away from home. They open Big Ten play versus new member Maryland. The schedule was announced yesterday, and the Spartans will face a schedule that includes 13 opponents that appeared in the 2014 postseason. They play 6 of their first 8 games away from East Lansing and make trips to Rutgers and Maryland in their inaugural year of Big Ten basketball, while hosting Maryland again, the first ever Big Ten game for the Terrapins. Now, game times and television networks for Big Ten contests and selected non-conference games will be announced at a later date. And the MSU women's basketball team, again, their schedule was revealed as well. They will begin defense of course, that incredible Big Ten title with a home date against Northwestern and wrap up the conference schedule against rival Purdue. In between, the Spartans will host each of the Big Ten's newcomers during their 18-game conference slate, which was unveiled on Thursday evening. Big Ten play begins on December 28th against Northwestern, and MSU will travel to face rival Michigan on January 4th. Mark your calendars there. And how about this? Of course, we talked about this in extents yesterday. Police have filed marijuana possession charges against Pittsburgh Steelers running backs Le'Veon Bell, former MSU great running back as well, and LeGarrette Blount following a traffic stop on Wednesday. Police in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh suburb of Ross Township, say a motorcycle officer pulled over Bell's Chevrolet Camaro when he smelled marijuana coming from it around 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Now, Detective Brian Colhip, he said the players and a woman in the car, 21-year-old Mercedes Dolson of Elk Grove, California, they were polite and very cooperative. Now, according to the criminal complaint, Bell told the officer at the scene, quote, "I didn't know you could get a DUI for being high. I smoked 2 hours ago. I'm not high anymore. I'm perfectly fine. Why would I be getting high if I had to make it to my game?" End quote. Interesting revelations there. Okay. Oklahoma City police officer and former EMU football standout Daniel Ken Holtzclaw was arrested Thursday afternoon for being accused of sexually assaulting at least 7 women from February of 2014 through June of 2014 while serving as an on-duty officer. Now, Holtzclaw, a 27-year-old Enid, Oklahoma native who attended EMU from 2005 to 2008 on a football scholarship, is being held in Oklahoma County Jail on $5 million bond. Now, the arrest warrant, authorized by a judge shortly before the arrest was made, alleges that Holtzclaw was wanted for first-degree rape, rape by instrumentation, 3 counts of forcible oral sodomy, 2 counts of sexual battery, and 2 counts of indecent exposure. My goodness. All right, the Tampa Bay Rays overcame a massive performance by David Price, Price allowed only a first-inning RBI triple to Brandon Guyer in his first start against his former team, and Alex Cobb and the Rays beat the Detroit Tigers 1-0 on Thursday to avoid a 3-game sweep. Price traded to the Tigers as part of that 3-team blockbuster deal on July 31st, got a standing ovation while taking his warm-up throws before the bottom of the first. Detroit heads to Minnesota for a 4-game series that begins tonight. The second AL wildcard leader trails Central Division leading Kansas City by 1.5 games. The Detroit Lions, they play game 3 of their preseason schedule tonight at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Game time is at 7:30 p.m. Wide receiver Calvin Johnson is expected to make his preseason debut tonight. And last but not least, Joshua Houston hit a clutch 2-run single. Reliever Cameron Buford pitched a 10th scoreless 6th inning. And Jackie Robinson, West Little League, held off gritty Philadelphia. That's right, Philly, they fell 6-5 in a matchup for inner-city teams at the Little League World Series. Now, the loss eliminated Philly and prevented star pitcher Monet Davis from getting one last shot to put another stamp on what had become her personal playground. But Philadelphia manager Alex Rice certainly isn't worried about her. Quote, the world's her oyster, right? Monet will figure out her future, and it's going to be terrific. She's going to dictate what it is. Good for her, end quote. Well, those are your current sports quick and headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Okay, folks, a fantastic show in store for you all. I'm excited about it. Hope you are, too. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I tell you, time certainly flies when you are busy or either having fun. I always say that, and I've been both, doing both this entire week. I'm actually sitting in a radio studio right now. I desperately need a shower as we speak. And you're probably wondering, why does Al need a shower right now? Well, because one thing, he's on the radio. We don't even see him anyway. So, first, I went out to MSU Women's Volleyball Media Day today. And, I love this because I feel as though every team should do this. It's just a fun way to interact with the media members. It's a fun way. You kind of get that one-on-one connection with the coaches and players. But they actually held a really cool media day where they invited the media out. This is the second day this has happened. I didn't get the chance to go last year, and I vowed I would not miss this year. So I didn't. I went out there. It actually took place at Spare Time. If you guys know where Spare Time is, it's right off Grand River, right off the freeway in Lansing, Michigan. And, it's really cool because they just built these, like, outdoor volleyball nets and sand area about a year ago. So the MSU women's volleyball team decided to hold media day there, and they invited the media out, and the players showed us how to serve, how to spike, how to get under the ball. I mean, it was really cool. They put us through these drills, and then at the end we held, like, a little mini scrimmage, which was really, really fun. But I tell you, man, I had sand everywhere. I have sand on my elbows right now, on my knees, in my pants. I mean, it's ridiculous. So it was a fun time. Me and my director, Tim Elkins, went out there to shoot for Current Sports TV. And you get to see all that footage. You'll get to see me embarrass myself a little bit. Which overall, I thought I played pretty solid. I thought I was pretty solid out there. So, I chatted with Kathy George and some more members and got to know them pretty well, some other members of the MSU women's volleyball team. And I tell you what, the expectations are through the roof for this team. I tell you, they are locked and loaded this year, folks. A relatively young team, but, the Big Ten in women's volleyball is like the SEC of college football. I mean, the Big Ten is the best conference by far in the nation for women's volleyball. And Michigan State is in that conference, of course, and they are ranked 6th in the preseason poll for the Big Ten play. Number one, of course, is the powerhouse that is Penn State. Penn State actually won the national championship last year. But Michigan State right in that running. They're number sixth right now. They're number sixth in the Big Ten and 16th nationally. They're ranked 16th nationally. So they're really, really good. My partner for today that was showing me the X's and O's and how to hit and how to bump and how to set and spike and so on and so forth is arguably the best player on that team, Corey Meister. She's an MSU defensewoman for the MSU women's volleyball team. She was outstanding. She's just so great to chat with. But this is her senior year, and Corey is actually regarded as one of the best, if not the best defender in women's college volleyball. It was really cool chatting with her. She's so down to earth. She is will be entering her third year as captain of the team. It was great just chatting out there, getting out there, sweating a little bit, getting in shape. I'm trying to think of other media members who were there. Audrey Dahlgren from Channel 6 News was there. Fred Heumann, sports director from Channel 6, was there. Sherry Jones, also women's news anchor for Channel 6. She was out there. Chris Solari, Graham Couch, and Brian Calloway, all of the Lansing State Journal, they were out there as well. You know, just a good time getting out there and, you know, just having some fun. So you get to see all of that footage again. Tim Elkins was out there. He shot everything. I even had a GoPro on my head. So it was pretty cool stuff. You get to see all of that footage and so much more on next week's edition of Current Sports TV. You know that Current Sports TV, we tape each and every Wednesday. Well, actually, we're going to be switching from Wednesday mornings to Wednesday afternoons after next week. So next week will be our last Wednesday morning of taping at 10 a.m. at the WKRTV studios. I'll be sitting down with Dan Bogan III. Yes, Dan Bogan is the head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. So Dan will be joining me next week. Again, if you want to sign up and be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by going to WKAR.org and signing up for free. But yeah, so you'll see that footage from the volleyball volleyball outing for Media Day. You get to hear from Kathy George and Corey Meister. And Kathy George will also be my Current Sports TV guest in September for the first week of September. So really cool stuff. Just a really, really cool time. And I'm trying to think what else is going to be on the episode. We'll also show you my ice bucket challenge. As many of you know who have been tuning in throughout this week and recognize that there's another voice that has been pretty absent throughout this week, that voice being Alex Shark, who's usually the guy behind the glass for me, engineering, but this week it's been the outstanding Aaron Young. But Alex is on vacation, and on vacation while out in sunny L.A., I logged into Facebook. I believe it was yesterday. So I guess I have 24 hours to complete this challenge. I don't know if I'm going to get to it today, though, Alex. So I have to donate more money than I'm supposed to for the ALS challenge. But it's so amazing how this ALS ice bucket challenge has just taken, you know, headway. I mean, everybody's doing it, from celebrities to, you know, my family members and my cousins to, you know, people I went to high school with. But I've been challenged now. I was dodging it for a while, but Alex decided to challenge me. I was also challenged randomly by my my high school junior varsity basketball coach, Dave Brown. He challenged me as well. And also one of my little mentees here at Michigan State University, Chris Cleary, he decided to challenge me. So I have three challenges that I have accepted, and I will be filming that as well and showing that on Current Sports TV as well. I'm going to be challenging some special people, so you don't want to miss that either. So that'll be on next week's Current Sports TV. So if you want to see me get an ice cold bucket of water dumped on me, then tune into that episode. And also, if you missed last night's episode, I sat down with Sue Carter. Sue Carter has done some outstanding things in the world of journalism. She's actually a member of the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame. She's an ordained priest. She's owned a horse ranch. She's carried the Olympic torch. She's a professor here at Michigan State University in journalism. I mean, she's done it all. She does it all, folks. She does it all. And now she steps into a new role now. I thought she'd done it all until this. She's stepping into the new role of MSU faculty athletic representative that was held by Michael Cassavanes since 1988, and she now steps into that role now. So we talked about that and so much more. If you missed it last night at 10 p.m., you can catch that episode along with every episode we've done in Current Sports TV history by simply going to WKAR.org, video.WKAR.org, I should say. And folks, you know what? I have to shout out this as well. Really didn't hit me until a few days ago when Alex Shark had told me, and I got an email from a radio station manager Peter Wharf as well today. Last night, actually, Peter sent me this email, and he told us that we have now done our, we have done 300 current sports radio shows. How about that? Well, a little over 300, because that actually took place on August 19th. So it's August 22nd now. So we've done over 300 current sports radio episodes. I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to all of you out there who tune in each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. And you know, and those who call in and just engage. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for making this a success. I remember when I took this job, and trying to step into the big shoes that Earl Robinson certainly left me. A little intimidating at first, but Earl was, he's been so gracious and he was so helpful making this transition. And we've just tried to revamp, sports radio here at WKR, and we couldn't have done it without you. So we're going to keep on pushing the envelope and bringing new things to the table and trying different things, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. But you guys make it happen because you, the listeners, are the ones tuning in and giving us the outstanding feedback. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. 300 in the books, hopefully 300 more to go, all right, and more, and counting, I should say. All right, folks. Well, again, our phone lines will be open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in, and we'll chat about anything you want, anything that is on your sports noggin, and we are going to start today's show by talking about the MSU football team. Now, yesterday, right around 12:40, as I was prepping for the show, I couldn't make it out to MSU football practice as Mark D'Antonio, along with the newly named captains for the MSU football team. They were named and addressed the media yesterday around 12:40 to about 1:30. And, I was on my Twitter feed after yesterday's show and saw that, as you just heard in our quick headliners, the MSU football team has some interesting captains that were named yesterday. And I think they were definitely some great moves. If you look at it, ladies and gents, if you missed our Quicken headliners, just looking at it right now, if I can get to my notes here. Okay, senior offensive guard, Travis Jackson, junior defensive end, Shalik Calhoun, and senior safety, Curtis Drummond, they were named as captains for this year's upcoming football season. Interesting. I'll tell you what, it's surprising for me when looking at those three, which I must say, Shalik Calhoun has been on current sports TV before. Outstanding young man. He certainly is born with leadership qualities, as well as Curtis Drummond is the same guy. And Travis Jackson. They're all three personalities that they exude leadership without a doubt. But it really surprised me because Connor Cook was not named on that list. Connor Cook, the quarterback who had an outstanding year. I mean, he was the MVP at the Rose Bowl, MVP at the Big Ten Championship game. I mean, Connor Cook was outstanding last year, especially amid, of course, that whole quarterback controversy that took place at the beginning of the year, and Connor Cook emerging as the guy and just getting better game by game by game, and being at media days. Connor Cook, he showed that he's ready to step into that role. So I want to get your thoughts on that, folks. Were you surprised that Connor Cook was not named on that list? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls, and you'll get my expanded thoughts on that later on during our second segment of the show. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's show. Of course, high school football is a week away, folks. Can you believe that? A week away. And we'll be bringing you highlights and post-game interviews from various high school football games throughout the area. And we have one of those men right now on our show today. It's my pleasure to welcome head football coach for the DeWitt Panthers, Rob Zimmerman, to Current Sports. How you doing, Rob?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well. Thanks a lot for joining me today. First of all, Rob, I mean, can you believe that we are a week away from the Friday night lights? Can you believe that?
And we said that last night when we were on the turf at East Grand Rapids for a scrimmage. Couldn't believe that it's 1 week away from our first game, but we're excited about it. I mean, we're looking forward to next Thursday night and going down to Linden, and it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Yes, it certainly will. Now, taking the trip back in time, looking at last year, Rob, you guys won all but one game. That turning out, of course, to be the last game of the season against Zeeland West in the Division III state championship game. I mean, how much have you thought about that game, coming just short of that state championship? And I'm pretty sure it's been motivating you and your team on the brink of this season, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough loss for us. We didn't play very well in the first half, and that cost us. We weren't ready to go, and I guess that's a big thing for us this season, is trying to make sure we're putting four quarters of football. And I was extremely proud of those kids where we fought back. I mean, it ended up being a great game, probably the best game of the weekend in the state finals, but unfortunately we came out on the short end. But this group of seniors is very talented, and that loss was certainly something that motivated them in this offseason and going into this fall.
So looking at the personnel of your team now this year, Rob, I mean, how young is this team? How many seniors do you have as far as leaders on this team?
This is a very veteran team. You know, last year we played a lot of younger kids on offense, and we were veteran on defense. And this year we have, depending upon how you want to look at it, we have 9 or 10 starters back on offense, and I believe we have 5 back on defense. And of those kids that are returning starters, we have 7 that played in the state semifinals as sophomores. 6 of them were starters as sophomores, and 7 that played a great deal, and then obviously got to play last year in the state finals. So, you know, it's a very veteran group of kids that have played a lot of big games, and, you know, hopefully that's a plus for us heading into this fall.
Now, if you look at, you know, the history of this program, now you guys, you know, haven't been that close to, you know, the Division IV state championship, you know, since 2006. And if you look at the history here, from 2002 to 2004, you guys went to back-to-back-to-back state title games and ended up coming short on all 3. Now, what is it going to take to eradicate the, you know, how should I say it, the just coming short history for the Panthers?
Well, I mean, you've got to have a great football team, obviously, and if you're playing in the state finals, the teams you're playing against are very, very good, too. And, you know, I look at it, and certainly we had our chance last year, but the team we lost to, going into that, we were ranked number 1 in the state, and they were number 2, and so they're a very, very talented team. And the other times that we got there, I really feel like, to be very honest, that we were probably a little bit outmanned, had a shot at one of them. Mm-hmm. The other two, we definitely played teams that were better than us, so... you know, we're so far from playing in a state championship game right now. You know, coach is cliche, but Linden is very, very good, and that's all that really matters right now. We've got a lot of tough teams we have to beat before we even have a shot again in the playoffs and trying to make a run. So we're not spending much time talking about the state championship, I can tell you that.
One game at a time. I love it, Rob. Now, how has training camp been going for you and the Panthers? What are you encouraged about with this team, and what areas do you see could be chinks in the armor that you guys need to clean up before that start of next week's game?
Well, we had our scrimmage yesterday, which is a great, I guess, telltale where we're at, and we always do a one-on-one with East Grand Rapids, which, you know, is obviously one of the best programs in the state year after year, and you know, we feel pretty good about how we played yesterday. Certainly have things to clean up, but it was one of our, if not best, certainly one of our best performances against them in the scrimmage since I've been here. So we're encouraged about how we played yesterday. I guess as far as where we need to improve, you know, I can think probably consistency, and that's probably the same thing with many other teams that we played really, really well at times yesterday, and we made a few mistakes, but overall, you know, I think that's probably the area that we've got to continue to get better at is consistency, and that's to be expected this time of the season.
Ladies and gents, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head coach of the DeWitt football team, Rob Zimmerman. Now, Rob, you know, throughout your tenure here being the head coach of the DeWitt football team, I mean, has your preparation changed at all from year to year to year? And what have you learned about yourself as a coach, you know, as the years have gone by now?
I think probably we tweak things a little bit each year. I mean, as coaches, you continue to grow, and, you know, we work very hard at continuing to learn the game of football. The older we get, I'm very fortunate that I have a tremendous coaching staff at all 3 levels, and my varsity coaches have been there for a while, and we've got a couple of younger guys that that we've added to the mix that used to play for us and have done a great job also. So, no, I think just collectively we continue to try to figure out what we can do to be better as a team and for us to do a better job. I don't know if there's anything in particular that we've really tried to change, probably just a lot of little tweaks here and there. And I guess really the biggest change would be the use of technology and how much of an impact that has on the game of football at the high school level with video and online, all the online services, mm-hmm. et cetera. So that's probably the biggest change.
Interesting stuff. Rob, I won't hold you long because I know we only got like 7 or 8 minutes with you here. But, Rob, when you talk about the technology, I mean, what are you guys using on the sidelines as far as the video? Do you guys have iPads? Cause I saw the other day during a preseason game, I mean, I'm seeing guys with iPads on the sidelines in different formations. Do you guys use that type of stuff on your sideline?
Yeah, last year they changed the rules so that you can use those. And we, probably the last 6 games of the season, we used the iPads and had them up in the press box and down the sidelines, and we've kind of expanded the use of those this year. So that's definitely a big piece of the puzzle that's changed, and it's a great benefit to be able to use those. You got to have some guys that are, you know, that are tech savvy, I guess, to utilize them in the most efficient way. But
yeah,
that's been a big change for us, and it's a real positive thing. I think the rule got changed because it was just so hard to control who was doing what with technology, so they kind of opened it up, and really, the only thing that you can't do is take the iPads and take them out on the game field and show the players that are actually out on the field playing at the present time what's going on. But you can use them on the sidelines, use them in the press box and at halftime. And that's definitely a big help for coaches and their staff.
Right. My, oh, my, have time changed. That's pretty cool stuff. All right, Rob, well, I tell you what, high school football is not all business. Of course, you're dealing with kids, and, you know, it's also about fun. You as the head coach, you know, just trying to find the fun of the season. Of course, it's fun for you, you know, being the leader of this team, being the head coach of this team. What do you look forward to the most on the brink of a season, Rob?
I think getting through that scrimmage last night, you know, we as a coaching staff like getting through that, and, you know, hopefully we're always healthy, and we came through that healthy last night, so that's a great thing for us. But just getting into the week-to-week competitive part of it, I think the biggest challenge is getting the game plan, and that's what we enjoy the most, is getting to that part of the season where you're breaking down film and trying to put together a scheme for the next team that you're going to see, and, you know, getting your kids ready to go, trying to execute that scheme. And I know that, at least I personally, that's what I enjoy the most. And obviously, just the time that you get to spend with the kids, you know, it goes so fast. And we have a great group of kids again this year, and they've been a lot of fun to work with. And I'm sure they're going to continue to be, you know, a great group to coach this whole season. They're pretty talented and got some personality there, too, which also adds to it to make it more fun.
Yeah. Without a doubt, Rob. All right. Well, before I let you go, Rob, I mean, do you think this year's team has the potential to be better than last year's team? And what do you think the identity of this year's squad will be?
Talent-wise, it's possible. You know, it's really hard to make any projections right now when we haven't even played a game. But on paper, we certainly have a lot of weapons offensively and have a lot of potential to be very good. Last night, I think, was a great indication of what we're capable of. But, again, we're still 0-0 right now. So we'll see. But we certainly have the potential to be pretty good. And you know, the same thing that impacts everybody else, we've got to stay healthy and can't make mistakes and all those phrases that are so common from coaches, but they're so important as far as having a season. So when you stay healthy, then we got a shot to be pretty good.
So Linden's pretty good as well next week, huh? I mean, what type of game are you expecting that to be?
We've played Linden the last 2 years in the playoffs. We played them 2 years ago in that 6-overtime game, and we were fortunate enough to win down there. And then last year we played them in the second round of the playoffs. They have 17 starters back. Traditionally, they've been a very winning program. You know, they're win-wise, they're one of the tops in Division III in the last 10 years. So we think it's going to be a great game. We're definitely going to have to be ready to play. They're very fast. They're probably similar to us in a lot of ways. We might be a little bit bigger than what they are, but they're very motivated. You know, we've ended their season the last 2 years, and now they have to open with us this year. So we know that it's going to be a challenge going into their place, that's for sure.
Oh, there. So this game is on the road then?
It is. It's on the road, yep.
Oh, boy. Well, there you have it. Head coach of the DeWitt football team. They open the season a week from today under the Friday night lights against Linden on the road. Hey, Rob, good luck, and I'll be certainly seeing you throughout the season, my man.
All right, great. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. Again, the great Rob Zimmerman, always great. He has a great team every single year, getting all the way to that state championship game last year. What a ride it was, going undefeated up until that game against Zeeland West and coming up just a little bit short. Man, oh man, do I love high school football around this area. Fun stuff. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk about MSU naming its new captains and what you think about it. We'll also talk about Le'Veon Bell and his His quote concerning, you know, when the police officer stopped him, he had an interesting quote that I found, you know, pretty head-scratching. We'll also talk about that in, you know, some Reflection Friday also coming up with you. You don't want to miss any of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking with Rob Zimmerman, head coach of the DeWitt Panthers football team, high school football team, the DeWitt Panthers. They were outstanding last year. Folks, can you believe that we are exactly now a week away from less than a week away for the official start of high school football from around the area, because there are a lot of games that are taking place on Thursday. I will actually on Thursday be out at the St. John's and East Lansing game doing a little play-by-play. This is my first time doing play-by-play for football, high school football. Me and Eric Doc Love of 92.1 Big Country FM, we'll be out there broadcasting that game. And then on Friday, I'll be out at a few high school football games shooting some highlights for Current Sports TV. But I can't believe it's right around the corner. And also Friday is also the start. Well, now that I rethink that, I'll probably be at the MSU football game on Friday night as they open up against Jacksonville State. Reminding you all that Current State and Current Sports are linking up on the evening of that game, about an hour or so before that game. And we'll be kind of breaking down the game. We'll also have John T. Madden. We'll have local beat writers and reporters from the MSU football team that cover the MSU football team on the air with me. And just kind of diving into and, you know, just kind of getting into the essence of college football being back right here in Mid-Michigan. A lot of hopes and dreams and expectations for this year's MSU football team. And yesterday, they announced their captains. Yes, the MSU football team, they named three guys, Shalik Calhoun, Travis Jackson, and Curtis Drummond, who I thought were solid choices. Those are all three solid choices. Shalik Calhoun, again, we had him on Current Sports TV. I tell you, it was one of the best interviews and best chats I've ever had with a college football player. I mean, Shalik Calhoun is just, he could have his own show, okay? He could host his show right now, I tell you. I mean, he's really, really a down-to-earth, humble, hardworking guy. You just naturally rally around him. I can definitely see that one. Travis Jackson is kind of that same guy. Not as, you know, I guess you'd say personality savvy as Shalik, but still, he's definitely a hard-nosed leader type of guy. And Curtis Drummond, a guy who's always been fully focused. So definitely solid choices. Solid choices. Now, again, you know, when it comes to captains, the MSU football captains, I should say. I can't speak on any other team. But they usually hold a player vote. And the players voted in the morning, yesterday morning, for three choices among the 12 players who made up the team's leadership council. And a fourth player, as they've done every year, will rotate as a game captain each and every week. So we'll see how that goes. But as far as any notion of surprise here for me, I definitely was surprised that Connor Cook wasn't named as a captain. For me, I thought Connor Cook, of course, you know, being the guy now, you step in as the clear-cut guy, number one guy, you're the MVP of the Rose Bowl. Same said for the Big Ten Championship against Ohio State and Indy. And, you know, he's had a great camp. I mean, you know, he seemed, you know, talking to him at Big Ten Media Day. Well, I should say MSU Football Media Day. I mean, he seemed so focused, so poised. And, you know, when talking to other players about Connor Cook, they talked about how he's really emerging into a leadership role. You heard the word leader in Connor Cook said in the same sentence a lot during that day. But I was surprised. Cook, again, not named as a captain for this year's upcoming team. And, you know, something, you know, just kind of rewinding time here. When I first heard about this, I had to really scratch my head and say, why? What would make the players not vote for Connor Cook as a captain? And really the only thing I could think of was probably back in Chicago, you know, for Big Ten Media Days, where Connor Cook, I guess you can say, kind of threw his wide receivers under the bus. If you remember, I actually did some research and put up the quote here, and he had an interesting quote when it comes to his receivers. Listen to this. Quote, The top four guys that I threw with this summer were A.J. Troop, Matt McSood, Trey Barksdale, John Jakubik. So they are always ready to put in work. Now, here's the part that gets a little sticky here, folks. Some of the other guys are a little lazy. That can be looked at as you're throwing your guys under the bus. And, you know, he goes on to say, quote, those four guys are just the hardest working guys. Call them at 9 p.m. and say, let's go over and throw. And they're down. Let's go tomorrow and throw at 6 a.m. They're ready. Always down to get better. And when you have guys like that, those are the guys that push you, end quote. So, again, that's the quote that had a little, many of us talking about Big Ten Media Days. I remember I brought it up on here on the show, and I was a little surprised that Cook, he kind of threw his receivers under the bus there. He did. And, if there's a moment that it alluded to him not, being elevated to that captainship for this MSU football team, that could have been it. I don't know. Again, players read the press. I remember talking to our intern, Andre Sims, and he talked about the players read the press. They know what media members say. They know what I say on the radio. When we think they're not listening, they are listening, folks. And, I'm pretty sure that quote got out, to some of the members of the team and, maybe rubbed them the wrong way. I know that if I'm a receiver for the MSU football team and I hear that, my quarterback, maybe he's talking about I'm lazy here. I wouldn't be too happy. So if there's any reason as to why Connor Cook wasn't named a captain, if there's any point of enlightenment that will allude to, and give me some type of revelation as to why he wasn't, then maybe that had something to do with it. So interesting stuff, though. I want to get your thoughts on it. How surprised were you that Connor Cook wasn't named as a captain? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I also want to say, though, I will say this as well. I think in some regards, the title of captain can be overrated. Definitely overrated in some regards. If you look at last year's MSU men's basketball team, who may have benefited by naming a captain and may not have, who knows? But, sometimes I feel as though not every team needs a captain. A perfect example may be the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. I mean, I feel like there's multiple leaders on that team. I mean, there's no one guy you can point out and say, okay, he is the clear cut. Maybe Tim Duncan, I don't know. But overall, I mean, Tony Parker sometimes, holds that role. You got a guy like Manu Ginobili also can hold that role. Even a young guy like Kawhi Leonard, when, the team is rallying behind him, he can hold that role. So, I don't know, if you have a good team, a solid team, and when there's multiple personalities that exude leadership and exude, being the guy, then I don't know if you necessarily, I don't know if that captain notion holds that much weight. It holds some, definitely, but every team doesn't need a captain. It's not a need. So I don't know. And, things change as the season evolves. We could be, even though Connor Cook's not named a captain right now, I mean, maybe some weeks down the line, we could see, that totally change and happen. Maybe he's named as the fourth captain. There's no rule that says you can't have four captains on your team. And they will have a floating captain, if you will, every single week as that fourth guy, changes week to week to week. And, we'll see. So we'll see. But I was definitely a little shocked. Definitely a little shocked that Connor Cook was not named. So, again, folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527. And something else that really shocked a lot of people happened to be, we talked about it yesterday, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, of course, the former MSU running back great. It's interesting because, looking at his track record, looking at Le'Veon Bell's track record at MSU, I mean, he's just a clean cut guy. A guy who, every time I've interviewed him, he's been just very, very humble, very down to earth, very savvy, and he knows his responsibilities, and he went out there and handled it, And it's just really interesting that Le'Veon was caught in a pickle, if you will. And like I said, sometimes I feel as though athletes, professional athletes more specifically, they feel as though, they have this Superman, I call it the Superman complex. Some athletes feel as though they're always on the national scene. They're, You know, they've never been caught before, even though they may be doing some things that aren't, you know, that are breaking the rules. But they've never been caught before, and they feel as though, since they've never been caught, they will never get caught. And, you know, maybe Le'Veon Bell was one of those guys. Who knows what he was doing in college? It's not like we had a 24-hour camera on Le'Veon Bell back when he was in college. But, you know, if he was caught with marijuana in his car, you know, who knows? There's a pretty good chance that maybe he was doing that in college, just never got caught. So, you know, who knows, though? Who knows? But, you know, again, this happened like moments before he's supposed to board the plane to play a game, which he did play in yesterday. You know, played decent yesterday. Him and LeGarrette Blount. They both played in that preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. And you know, it's interesting because you know the more details have come out now since we had this discussion about Le'Veon yesterday. And we had a great caller as well yesterday. I have to shout him out. Tom from Grand Rapids gave an interesting perspective about you know what if you and I are at our jobs. And if our job, you know, does drug test and, you know, it finds out that we're smoking marijuana and it's found in our system, I mean, what would happen to us? What would happen to you at your job? And he put it in that regard. And, you know, we're probably, you know, if I got caught, I may be out of a job right now, you know, you know, just putting it plain and simple. So it really you know, makes it relevant here that, you know, maybe the NFL was trying to baby its stars, quote unquote, stars of the league. So, but Jerome Bettis had some interesting quotes. Of course, Jerome Bettis, a Detroit native. Shout out to D-Town. Jerome Bettis, he also attended Detroit McKenzie High School and is a Steelers running back. Great Super Bowl champion. I mean, Jerome Bettis is great. He's now an analyst for the NFL, and he was asked about, you know, his thoughts on this whole Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount situation. And he has some strong words for Bell and Blount following the traffic stop, saying, quote, "You have to get your life in order. You have to understand what is important, and if football and playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers is important, then you're going to act accordingly. You're going to change the things that you're doing right now because you're not going to be with the Steelers or the NFL long if you continue on that path," end quote. So, harsh words for him. Harsh words that I do agree with. 110%. You know, when you get in the NFL, it's not like college. The media coverage and the amount of attention you get, it gets amped up a little bit from college, without a doubt. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, you know, this is sophomore campaign now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has to realize, man, that if, you know, you have to carry yourself a certain way and you have to cut out certain things. And, you know, this is one of those instances. You can't be caught in a car hours. Literally hours before you board a flight to go play an NFL game, you can't be caught with that in your car, period. It was a lapse of judgment. And, again, Le'Veon, you know, according to the criminal complaint, Bell told the officer at the scene this: "I didn't know you could get a DUI for being high. I smoked 2 hours ago. I'm not high anymore. I'm perfectly fine. Why would I be getting high if I had to make it to my game?" End quote. Come on, Le'Veon. Really? You didn't know you could get a DUI? I mean, that's driving under the influence. Now, a lot of people associate DUI as just driving drunk, which you are under the influence of alcohol. But DUI does not just pertain to alcohol. It pertains to any drug, especially an illegal drug like marijuana. You got to be smarter than that, Le'Veon. You got to be smarter than that. You know, looking at Blount's past, I mean, Blount has definitely been in trouble before with the Steelers. Bell is a guy who's never had a track record like that at all. You know, Mr. Goody Two Shoes and so on and so forth. And, you know, this could be a case where, you know, they're in training camp all the time. I mean, you know, each position on a football team is supposed to be like a family. You know, the running back's family, the quarterback's family. I mean, they train with each other all the time. Looking at the reports, I'm understood that Le'Veon Bell and Blount, you know, working with each other each and every day and being the top two running backs on the Steelers team, they develop a pretty close relationship with one another. And, they were hanging out, and LeBlanc, again, he has his past, and, you know, Le'Veon's in the car, you know, and they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing or did something they weren't supposed to be doing, and they have this thing in their car, and boom, you get caught. You got to be smarter, Le'Veon, and I think this will be a valuable lesson for him. I think he's going to learn a lot from this lesson. I don't think we'll hear anything else from Le'Veon. I think that his character, you know, it's certainly a wake-up call. Instances like this can certainly be a wake-up call that sort of shakes you and says, okay, you know, my name is everywhere now, and not everywhere for the best reasons. I mean, if you turn on ESPN, if you go to ESPN.com right now, and if you know, the pressure are all over this story. And I think Le'Veon will be okay. You know, I think he's going to realize his mistakes and correct them. He's a young kid. Young kids makes mistakes. He's only a sophomore now in the NFL. So we'll see what happens. But I do think it's a wake-up call. And, again, Jerome Bettis hit it right on the head. I mean, if you want to be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's important that you act accordingly. You got to cut out things you used to do. Because if you don't, there's a pretty good chance that, you know, it only takes one moment, one second, one instance to change everything. So, all right. Well, let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, we have some more talking points for you. We'll talk about the ex-EMU football player arrested on rape charges. A pretty bizarre story here. Also, we'll give you I'll give you my things to look for in tonight's Lions and Jaguars preseason NFL game. And also, it's Reflection Friday. What have been your favorite stories of this week? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, this is something I didn't allude to in our headliners. Johnny Manziel, of course, he flipped the bird on Monday night's football game against the Washington Redskins. And, you know, we kind of debated on the show about what would happen to Johnny football. What will the punishment be? You know, I pretty much predicted like a fine, you know, and that's exactly what happened. Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel, he was fined $12,000 for making that obscene gesture at the Washington Redskins bench. In that preseason game on Monday, Manziel, again, he extended his middle finger after a third quarter incompletion in front of Washington's bench during that 24-23 loss on Monday night. So there you have that. Johnny Football has been punished for it. And hopefully, you know, hopefully that's a wake-up call for him because, you know, Johnny Football, he's a guy who is probably, you know, arguably out of any NFL player in the league right now, he is certainly the one that's in the spotlight the most. I mean, from the partying at Justin Bieber's place to – you know, going on the Las Vegas trip and, you know, Instagramming photos. And he's just been in the press for many of the wrong reasons. I think Johnny Football will be okay. He's going to be a starter for some NFL team. If it's, you know, I think pretty soon he will be a starter for the Browns. Just a matter of time, I think. Of course, he was named backup to former MSU quarterback Brian Hoyer. And Johnny Football didn't help his case by flipping the bird on Monday night's game. So, but again, he's been fined $12,000 for that gesture. A bizarre story, local story here that concerns a former Eastern Michigan University football player. The Oklahoma City Police officer and former Eastern Michigan University football standout, Daniel Ken Holdsclaw. Does that name ring a bell, ladies and gents? He was arrested yesterday afternoon after being accused of sexually assaulting at least 7 women from February of this year through June of this year while serving. All of this took place while serving allegedly took place while serving as an on-duty officer. Now, he attended EMU from 2005 to 2008 on a football scholarship and is now being held in Oklahoma County Jail on a $5 million bond. The arrest warrant authorized by a judge shortly before the arrest was made alleges that Holdsclaw was arrested for first-degree rape, rape by instrumentation, 3 counts of forcible oral sodomy, 2 counts of sexual battery, and 2 counts of indecent exposure. My goodness. Wow, I had to do a double take when reading that story this morning. I don't know much about Daniel Ken Holdsclaw. I mean, this took place 2005 to 2008. I was still in high school, when he was playing for EMU. He's 27 years old right now. It just shows you. I mean, there's a lot of sick things and sick people in this world, And, you know, it just, you know, it sinks my heart to hear a story like this. I hope that if he is found guilty in this whole situation, that, you know, he gets what he deserves and he needs to be locked up and locked up for a long time, without a doubt. I just hate hearing stories like this. There's so many things happening on in this world. I mean, from things like this to, I don't know if you guys have been following the news, but, you know, the whole James Foley beheading that took place from ISIS by the terrorist group ISIS in Iraq, to, of course, the Michael Brown situation. Man, oh, man, folks, as we end our week here, it's been an eventful one. As we end our week here, folks, I just, you know, do something to impact the world positively this weekend. You know, whether it's, you know, taking your grandma out somewhere or visiting your grandparents, or, you know, doing something nice for your mom. Just do something, because we need some more positivity in this world. Because when reading stories like this, I mean, it just turns your heart upside down. So again, Daniel Ken Holdsclaw, again, he was arrested yesterday afternoon and is being accused of sexually assaulting at least 7 women. So, man, I mean, it's not much to say about that story. It's just really disheartening, folks. Really, really disheartening. All right, but I want to end our week on a good note. So much positive has happened in the world of sports, I would say, throughout this week. And we bring to you our Reflection Friday segment here now, as we reflect on the biggest sports stories of the week and give you our favorite sports moments or sports stories of the week. And Deb, I have a few here. First of all, I just want to say congrats to Trevor Manuel. As I talked about in our headliner, Trevor Manuel, of course, he was a standout. He was an outstanding player, still is an outstanding player around the Lansing area. He played for Carlton Valentine's Lansing Sexton team back in the area, back in the day before transferring to the famed Oak Hill High School, which has bred so many NBA players. Trevor Manuel had decided to come back to Lansing, and there was a lot of chatter left and right on where would Trevor take his talents. Now, his decision was delayed because Carlton Valentine, as we had him on the show last week, Carlton Valentine decided to return to coach boys basketball at Sexton on July 31st. But the senior-to-be wound up sticking with the decision that he had nearly finalized by the time Carlton had made a decision to come back. And he will be playing alongside his cousins at Everett High School, being coached by, of course, Desmond Ferguson, who was on the show not too long ago as well, on the TV show. Congrats to Trevor. You know, definitely a tough decision when you have your former coach, Carlton Valentine, a guy who has definitely contributed greatly to your basketball career. I believe Trevor also, he worked out and played with Carlton's AAU team over the summer, which also made a trip to Vegas. Trevor Manuel and Carlton certainly have a pretty cool relationship, but, you know, he decided to play with his cousin. So I think Trevor definitely made a decision that, you know, he's happy with, and we definitely want to wish him all the luck as the basketball season starts near the end of this year, around November-ish, something like that. So congrats to Trevor, though. He's going to be an outstanding player. I mean, this kid has offers from MSU, Michigan, Florida State, Oregon, Providence, Wake Forest, Xavier, EMU. My goodness, he's pretty good. He's 6'9". 200 pounds, and Carlton, he may be giving you the blues now. Your former player is on the other side now, and he may be giving you the blues this upcoming basketball season. So, but that definitely is a great story. I liked, it was great reading that today, that Trevor has finally made a decision. Also, the MSU volleyball team, thanks a lot for having me over at spare time this morning, getting to play with, all of the members of the MSU volleyball team. Corey Master was sort of my mentor out there on the volleyball field. You'll get to see all of that footage on next week's Current Sports TV. Fun time out there. Of course, you know, this is a story that, you know, everybody has been talking about, Le'Veon Bell. Hopefully Le'Veon Bell has learned now from the situation. And it was just really surprising, really, really surprising stuff. And the Tigers, how about the Tigers? They got back on track as well. I mean, even though they fell yesterday 1-0, the bats go cold. You know, David Price, I thought he was masterful yesterday. He allowed only a first-inning RBI triple to Brandon Guyer in his first start against his former team. He got a standing ovation, well-deserved. And the Tigers, even though they fell yesterday, they still win that series 2-1, actually. And now they found themselves still trailing in the Central Division, leading Kansas City Royals in the AL Central, 1.5 games. But, hey, they could get a wild card spot. So it's getting close now, folks, as the season winds down. It's definitely getting close. And how about this is probably my favorite story of the week. Monet Davis. Monet Davis. I have never seen a female play in the Little League World Series up until this point with Monet Davis. And man, oh man, can she ball. She's unbelievable. I mean, for those of you who caught any of the highlights from Monet Davis on the mound, I mean, she is so good. I mean, you know that saying, you know, oh, you throw like a girl. I mean, I'm pretty sure many guys out there back in the day, you know, growing up, you know, used to tease your homeboy who wasn't that great in sports and say, oh, you throw like a girl. But Monet Davis is redefining what you throw like a girl means, okay? she could deal. I mean, she was unbelievable, striking out batters left and right. She was the youngest person ever to grace the cover of Sports Illustrated. How about that? I can't wait to get that issue in the mail. And it was just really cool to see the amount of attention that she brought to the Little League World Series. She'll go on certainly to do great things. We may not see her in the Little League World Series ever again, but you know, her dream is to actually play point guard for Gino Auriemma's UConn women's basketball team. So, she plays multiple sports. She plays soccer, basketball, baseball. I mean, she does it all. So it was just really cool to see a female just sort of take the reins and take the Little League World Series on its heels and just bring a lot of attention to it. So congrats to Monet Davis. I thought it was a really cool quote, if you missed it, from Alex Rice, the Philadelphia manager. And he said, quote, "The world's her oyster. Monet will figure out her future, and it's going to be terrific. She's going to dictate what it is, good for her," end quote. So I thought that was a fantastic story. My favorite story of the week, ladies and gents. And again, the Lions. How about the Detroit Lions? The Lions play tonight, folks. Yes, and a few things to watch. Again, they're at Ford Field against the Jacksonville Jags. It's going to be I'm really going to be honing in on to see how healthy Calvin Johnson is. I mean, we had Dave Burkett, beat writer for the Detroit Lions, on earlier this week, and Dave, you know, talked about how, you know, Calvin's fine. They're just sort of just resting him, sort of how Adrian Peterson is being rested throughout this entire preseason for the Minnesota Vikings, because Adrian Peterson is the Minnesota Vikings offense, and of course Calvin Johnson, an integral part of the Detroit Lions offense, the best wide receiver in the game today. They're certainly resting him up, but I just want to see him catch a few balls and make sure he's okay. Okay. And certainly Nate Freeze. Nate Freeze, the word out on him, the Lions drafted this kicker in the last round of this year's NFL draft. He hasn't really turned a lot of heads, and the verdict is still out on him. So as the Lions wind down the preseason here, they're going to make some decisions pretty soon on who their kicker is going to be. And Nate Freeze has to turn some heads. So look out for that as well. And also, to see how that secondary is coming along. Because the secondary it certainly is the Achilles heel for this Detroit Lions team. The secondary is not great for the Lions. They did a poor job of addressing it, in my opinion, over this year's NFL draft. And, it's one of those things that could certainly burn them. So I'll definitely be honing in to see what guys, are going to be playing in that secondary and what guys am I going to have to blame possibly on some losses this season. Not to be pessimistic. All right. Well, thanks a lot to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Again, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. Again, sign up for Current Sports TV next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the WKAR TV studios, and be a part of our live studio audience by going to WKAR.org as I sit down with head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team, Dan Bogan. Yes, he is also the athletic director as well over at Lansing Sexton. He's a busy, busy man. Looking forward to chatting with him. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic weekend, and hey, be easy, people.